God, why did he say that? What we need is preaching. And I appreciate the music. I need a couple of hours if you're visiting with us, and I hope and pray that you'll not fall out of the window as did Eutychus. Because of the length of the service, we do have the windows closed, and you are only on the first floor, so chances are if you fall out, unless you fall from the balcony, that you'll probably survive the fall. But need a couple of hours to teach you something, to show you something this morning, and I hope and pray that it'll be, in all honesty, an encouragement, but also a wake-up call. You live in a day and time where people have a misconception that because the Lord is so gracious at salvation, that it stops there. Jesus compels us to be much more than just converts. He compels us to be more than just admire what He did for us on Calvary's cross. The Lord wants more out of us than to just be saved. And most of the church nowadays is saved. And they come to church and those kind of things, but when it comes to what we're going to talk about today, they know very little about it at all. So we're going to pick it up, if you will, please, in verse number 57, Luke chapter number 9, and verse number 57. I don't know about you, but I used to play a little bit of sports. I wasn't probably a star athlete like some of y'all, but I didn't like to practice all week long and then sit on the bench for the game. And God wants us to be more than just a bench sitter or a bench warmer. God says, hey, listen, I've enabled you. I've equipped you. I would like to see you do some things other than just sit around and collect dust. Notice, if you will, this principle here is borne out in the Bible. Would you agree that maybe the title should be costly, not convenient? Most of us have what is called a convenient relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the day, a certain man said unto him. Now notice the Lord's not asking him, the guy's following the Lord. And he says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. It must have been from the south, I would guess. Jesus saith unto him, said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. You think what I just said was harsh? Look what Jesus said. Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that you might help us today. And Lord, I realize that some of the things that are going to be said that are from the Bible are going to run contrary to the sacred cows that we have in our own lives. And I pray, God, that we might explore those things in light of the Bible this morning and will not be put off or offended or upset. We thank you, God, for what we've seen and been allowed to partake in with Judah this morning. We'd ask now, God, that we might partake in the worship of Thee by listening to what You have to say. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may have a seat. I would start off by having you turn. We'll come back to the book of Luke in a second. Come to Acts chapter number 11. Would you agree with me when I say to you that today's church or today's Christian is kind of one of personal convenience? Amen. Well, most attend church. What they attend is they want a church that's designed for their quick ingress and egress, easy access, what their prerogative is, what their personal preferences are. What they're looking for is a church that is designed to meet what they want, not what God wants. Secondly, I would say that it is for their personal comfort, not just the pews that you sit in or the bathrooms or the nice facilities that you see, but emotional and stylistic comfort. In other words, I'm coming to church to get what I think I need, not what God says I need. That's like you going to the doctor and telling the doctor what's wrong with you instead of letting the doctor diagnose what's the matter with you. Most Christians nowadays have already predetermined what they think their need is, and most people are looking for churches and or a Christianity that involves their own personal choices. And the more choices, the better. What do you have for me? Do you have something for the kids? Do you have a nursery for the babies? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Churches nowadays provide everything from coffee bars to social events to make sure that you can make the church a good social gathering place.
That's right.
Now, I just want to show you what the Bible has to say about those things before you get offended. I don't mean to be like Peter and cut off Malchus's ear, but I want you to understand some of the things that you worship as sacred cows in your life are not biblical. We have just done them so long as a tradition that we think that's what a church is supposed to be. But biblically, what can happen is those things can easily get between us and God. More people are offended because they have expectations of what they think it should be, because it's what it is everywhere else, as opposed to what the Bible says and what things ought to be.
Amen.
And so next thing you know, we're upset. If you're a pastor, here's one of the things that becomes difficult. Some people like to have social events. Some people think social events are compromised. The people that think you ought to have social events believe that you got to have it in order for the church to exist. And the ones that believe you shouldn't have social events believe that if you do have them, then it's compromised. Now, you're the pastor of that, and you're trying to keep those both of those people placated. Because here's the problem. Too often, we try to run things according to what we want instead of what the Bible says.
Yes.
Generally, it has to do with our own preferences. We definitely think the churches we're a part of should come at a minimal cost. In other words, we'd like to have a church that's available. If we can come maybe, say once a month, that ought to be good. Maybe no more than an hour and a half if we stretch it on a Sunday morning. And maybe an occasional offering or something, but certainly not anything consistent, nothing like tithing or giving on a regular basis. And we don't want them to make any demands upon us or upon our time. Minimal cost, no sacrifice. That is something a convert does. A convert says, hey, listen, it's all about me. But a disciple says, listen, where do I sacrifice? There's got to be more than just being converted. There has to be a thing called discipleship. We certainly want a church nowadays where we appreciate the salvation is free, but we don't want to talk about the cost of discipleship. Most of us have this idea or this mentality. We want to be a part of a church that doesn't require us to change. We want a church that accepts me just like I am. Why? Are you perfect?
No, sir.
You already have arrived. I mean, now that you're saved, thank God you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We appreciate it. I'm not saying that the change should take place because it's proof of your salvation. I'm saying, who are you following?
Amen.
If we're supposed to be conformed to His image and we're supposed to have His mind, why should there not be an expected change on our part? But you know what we do? We get really angry when somebody takes the Bible and says, listen, you ought to stop doing the things that are not pleasing to God.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter number 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which he says is your reasonable service. And then Paul says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, not for salvation, but because you're saved, think differently and you will be different.
Amen.
Too many of us nowadays are so concerned about making everybody happy that when the demands of discipleship say, I've got to be transformed and learn to think how God thinks,
amen,
and love what God loves and despise what God despises, we're like, amen, well, you should just be glad I'm here. Listen, if you're wrong, you're still wrong.
Amen.
He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes by the washing of the water. And he says that you may know that which is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God says there's some things that I demand out of a disciple, but I would never ask it out of a convert, because a convert doesn't have what it takes, is not willing to do what is necessary in order to be called a disciple. I draw your attention to Acts chapter number 11. It's not a matter anymore, ladies and gentlemen, of personal convenience. There's a cost to discipleship that is far greater than your own concepts, your own concerns, your own dreams, your own hopes, your own ambitions, and even your own career, and even your own family. See, I've never heard that. I realize you may not have ever heard that, but it doesn't negate the fact that it's true. The problem with us nowadays is Laodicea exists because we don't have the desire to pay the price to become a disciple. We're very happy to be a convert, but that's where it starts.
Right.
We're done with that. What we think is because God has been so merciful with some of us that he has begged and pleaded with us sometimes for years before we finally got saved. And thank God, he never quit begging you to get saved. But here's the thing, and TK's not offended. He got on call, or maybe he's getting right with God. I don't know. But listen to me. Listen, I thought he was fixing to go because he had a call. I'm not making fun of him. Listen to me for a second. Here's where it stops. When somebody says to you, if you want to be a disciple, there's a sacrifice involved. It's like, no, he made my sacrifice. That's for your salvation.
Amen.
And so the entire idea that we get is that after we're saved, God is so hard up through His Son Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that He now begs and pleads with us, oh, please follow me, please follow me. Oh, I want so bad for you to follow me. Oh, I desire for you to follow me. I want you to follow me. But you cannot find a verse in the Bible that shows God pleads and begs with you after salvation for you to become a disciple. Because God wants volunteers. God doesn't want somebody that's either hooked or crooked or begged or pleaded with. Listen, if you're a friend of somebody, all they need do is ask. They don't have to beg, poke, prod, plead. They don't have to try to sweeten the pot and say, I'll have your favorite meal. We'll have an apple pie and ice cream and we'll have everything that you ever want. If you'll just come and you'll just be there. The mentality has been, well, if you get them there, then maybe they'll hear. No, they're coming because you're baiting the hook.
Amen.
Nowhere in the Bible when somebody departs from the Lord does the Lord go, oh, my whole being defined as God depends upon them not rejecting me. Go back and get them. Go back and get them. Go back and get them. No, you know what he says? See you later. Church nowadays focuses on we are so desperate that we gotta have everybody. Like something is wrong with what we're offering.
Right,
amen. Well, if I come to that church, can I have coffee if you get here early enough? But if that's what you're coming for, I kind of wonder how long you'll last. Because the second the coffee pot runs empty, you're going to be mad that somebody got the last. Well, he got two cups and I only got one. Big difference in membership and discipleship. Big difference in being converted and being a disciple. Well, I'll come there if they can use my talents and my abilities to play an instrument or to sing. But if they're not going to use it, I'll go somewhere I can be used. Well, can I ask you a question? Can you show for me in the Bible where you coming to the body of Christ was about you being used in the first place?
Amen.
It's not a stage or a platform for a performance. It's not a place for your ministry. You're not doing God a favor by saying, look, I got this great ministry and I'm just looking to hook it up with somebody and I'm sure that God would be pleased to have me. But if you're not going to let me do my ministry at your church, I'll go somewhere else or start my own. How am I doing so far? That's not biblical at all. You see, the church has accepted that as that sacred cow, which by the time I'm done, I'm going to grind it to hamburger. Because it needs to be eaten. It's not giving you milk anymore. And that dog don't hunt no more, as they used to say in the South. Too many people's feelings are hurt because they come with an expectation of, oh, what am I going to do for the church? I don't know. Let's find out, first of all, where your mindset is. Are you coming because of one of the things I've mentioned to you? Or are you saying, listen, I want to be a disciple?
Right. Amen.
Nowadays, the church is built on a marketing program.
Right.
We have these things to offer. All these promises. And you know what happens? They never are what we promise them to be.
Amen.
And people come in and you know what we've done? We realize if we got them with pizza, somebody with a bigger pizza sooner or later is going to get them away.
Amen.
Because the reason that they came was not because of the preaching of the Word of God and to become a disciple. They were coming for entertainment, or they were coming to show off their wares or their abilities or whatever. They generally just come because it's convenient, it's close to the house, like Ahab. I want it close because it's Garden of Herbs and it's nearby my house. It's right out the back door. Nowadays, we're in that situation where the church has been made to be, if you want me, market me. If you want me, come get me. That's a strange thing. We should be going to get those that are lost.
Amen.
But saved people should be looking for a place to go.
Amen.
It's a strange thing. I get in my car and now we've gotten this mentality so great that when my car runs out of gas, it starts to tell me, you better pull over and get some gas now or and find a gas station right quick or you're going to run out of gas. You know what a Christian says? Well, nobody came and knocked on my door. Nobody's visited me. Nobody sent me a card. Nobody sent me a letter. Nobody came after me. Hey, Jesus came after you on Calvary. But you think that after that, He should continue to pursue you. Hey, let me explain something to you and I want to help you and this is going to hurt, okay? So, I'm just telling you now. If the Holy Ghost can't convict them and convict them, who do you think you are? Well, I think I'm more. Listen, don't tell me that the Holy Ghost ain't already told them you need to be in church and you need to be reading your Bible and you need to be praying. Don't you tell me that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost hasn't already convinced them and convicted them of their sin. But now it's like, well, I know the Holy Ghost can't get them, but I ain't had a shot at them yet. I can get the hardest of the hard and I can get them individuals. Are you sure? Can I ask you a question? Why aren't Christians looking for God anymore? Can I tell you why? They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to pay the price. We've trained them that way. Oh, let us come get you. Let you make an effort. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you own a business, just to try to help you to understand where I'm going with this, if you own a business and you put out an advertisement to say, I need employees, and somebody calls you up and says, listen, I'd be glad to come, but first of all, I want to know, what are the benefits? Are you going to pick me up? Are you going to take me home? Can I come when I want to come? Can I be what I want to be and can I do what I want to do? Now, every one of you would say that's ridiculous. But that's what you expect the church to be. Can I come when I want to come? Can I be what I want to be? And can I do what I want to do? And don't say nothing to me about it. Don't think I'm not a good employee. You don't know me. My question to you this morning is, why don't you desire Him?
Amen.
Why aren't you looking, searching for Him? Well, I don't like people. Well, then you ain't got much of Jesus in you.
Amen.
The Bible says this in Acts chapter 11, no, I did not forget where I'm at. Look, if you will, please, down in verse number 26. There's a definitive statement here, very, very important for you to grab a hold of. Verse number 26, and when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Indicating you can be a convert, you can be a saved person and not be a Christian.
Right, amen.
You call yourself a Christian, you're saying, I'm a disciple.
Right, amen.
I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to put it all on the table. Let's go back, if you will, please, to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Anything that competes with Jesus for our loyalty must be forsaken as an idol.
Amen.
You ever notice the Lord? If you look, stop in Luke 14 before you go to Acts 9. You ever notice the Lord, He never sugarcoats or tricks anybody into thinking following Him is going to be a great thing.
Amen.
He never does that. He's not like us at all. You say, but preacher, I know. You see, you've been corrupted by the world that plays up to mankind as if we have to sort of present Jesus with a nice, pretty wrapping because He's not really that all beautiful to look at. So we got to kind of present Him with a marketing plan. And get you to like the church, whether you like Jesus or not.
Good.
And we can't present Jesus in its raw form because, wow, that's not the Jesus that we like to present because He might reprove and rebuke instead of exhort and encourage.
Right. Amen.
That stuff won't keep you going if you're not sold out when difficulty and trouble comes.
Amen.
If you listen, God is interested in free will volunteers He is not drafting anybody. God doesn't have one of these lotteries and your number comes up and you're 1A for the draft. No, sir. After you're saved, it is full-on voluntary service or not at all. Still converted, still saved, not a Christian.
Amen.
God never looks to find somebody and say, you're going whether you want to go or not.
Right.
He says, you want to go?
Really good.
Follow me.
Right.
Well, Lord, I want to follow you. Well, you got a little problem. What's the problem? You see, you keep the law. Lord, I've kept the law since my early days. The Lord said, yeah, but there's still one sticking point. Go sell all you got. Give it to the poor and follow me.
Yeah.
You know what that Bible says? That Bible says that man turned away of a sad countenance because he wanted to follow the Lord, but without an expense attached.
Right.
And God nailed him over what his idol was, and that guy turned away and didn't follow because he wanted to follow God his way and his interpretation of God. You should be happy just to have me like I am. I mean, you ought to be patting me on the back. Anybody else would be glad to have me. Now, if you're visiting, let me say this. We're glad you're here. But don't misunderstand that the church is like God, because some of you are stubborn and rebellious and stiff-necked, and you know already, even though you're mad at me, that God has already told you everything I'm telling you, and the audacity of you to turn away the Holy Ghost of God and the finished atonement of Jesus Christ to say, well, I just think it ought to be like that. One day when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, you're going to find out I was right. You say, nobody can say that. Yeah, I can say that.
Amen.
Just as well as you say what you say and you think you make the authority. I got the Bible on my side.
Amen.
Well, but you're picking and choosing the Bible. No, you never do that, do you?
That's right.
You ought to just accept me like I am. Well, maybe you ought to clean some things up.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to quit worrying about me accepting you and find out whether or not Jesus accepts you. I'm going to follow the Lord. Maybe the Lord's not interested in having you follow Him.
No, amen. That's right.
Maybe unless you're willing to get rid of some things, you can be saved, but you can't be a disciple.
Amen.
And I don't mean because you've been divorced.
Right.
I mean because you got some things in your heart and in your mind that says, I'm going to follow Him, but I'm going to follow Him my way.
Amen.
Well, then you can go to hell like what's his name that sang My Way. Down there, he says, I'll have it my way. The Lord said, it's my way through Calvary or you don't get in. Well, the way I see it, okay, how's that working out for you, Mr. Sinatra? When it comes to discipleship, it is attached with voluntary service and a willingness to lay your life down just like He did. You are to be like your mentor. You're to be like the one that set the example, willing to lay your life down, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, where you're headed, your career. And yes, even your marriage. We pray up marriage so much nowadays that we forget that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 that it's better for some of you if you're not married, because if you are married, your thought is to your wife or your thought is to your husband and the things of the world. And when you're not married, guess what? You can be just as much in the will of God as somebody that is married. I'm wore out with focus on the family.
Amen.
Because you got a family, you make people that don't have a family think they're second class.
Right.
And because you got a marriage, you think somebody that ain't married is somebody better than you. And that ain't no excuse for you not to be responsible if you are married.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you put so much focus on that, you make single people feel like, well, I just got to get married. I just got to get married. I just got to get married. You know what you need to do? You just need to follow Jesus Christ and don't worry about whether or not you get married. And if God brings it along, fine. And if He don't, hey, you know what He says? You can better serve the Lord without that.
Amen.
It's the Bible, ain't it?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 7, if you want to read on it, but have a barf bag close by.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul's opinion through the power of the Holy Ghost of what marriage is entirely different. The reason most of you are having marital problems is because you had expectations that are not biblical and you expect to be driven, taken care of, and everything to revolve around you, and you got the wrong idea. Listen, your marriage is not the end of all things. It is a mean to things, and it is supposed to be a woman and a man serving God, but you ain't getting your way. Listen, you stinking selfish brat, you. You got married for the wrong reason. Your marriage is supposed to reflect Jesus Christ. You don't matter. she doesn't meet my expectations. Ooh. Maybe you see in her exactly what Jesus sees in you. Convert. You're just a convert. You ain't a husband. You ain't a wife. You're a convert. You say, why? A husband and a wife is willing to sacrifice. But you know what? We done made up our mind. Oh, it's all about life and having children. And that makes us successful. It is if that's what God wants. More Christians than not have been destroyed by a marriage because now all of a sudden it becomes about, well, I got to work extra and I got to do more because I got to provide for the family. What about church? Well, but see, I'm serving God in my family. That's an idol. That's a duck. That's saying, well, something more important than God is. That's an idol. Yeah, but it's a good thing. No, it ain't a good thing if it's between you and God. Bow down and worship it all the time. And then make me feel guilty about saying Jesus is first. Well, let me just tell you this. I'll show you in just a second. I ain't the only one saying it. I'm only saying it because He said it. Look in the Bible. Luke chapter number 14. Are you with me? Verse 25. There went a great multitude. That's why I don't come to this church. My God. Did you ever think about this? God knew you were going to be here today.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I've like had this in the reservoir for a while. It's kind of like, oh, today's the day. They're going to be there. The Holy Spirit knew you were going to be here. You know what He's doing? He's beckoning you and saying, hey, today is the day of surrender and sacrifice. Do you want to be My disciple? Follow Me. Lord, I'll follow you. Watch it. The Bible says, verse 25, there went a great multitude with Him. And He turned and said unto them, I am just overwhelmed that you would follow Me.
Nope.
Isn't this strange? Would you agree that this passage is so contrary to the modern church today? The focus is on whether or not you cut and pick and got spoke to as opposed to did God speak to you through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Was the preaching enough to stir your very soul? I don't know. I just know when I walked in the door, they didn't say hello.
Good.
My aching back. Did God speak? Well, I don't know. But there was no toilet paper in the bathroom. I had to stand in line and wait for a toilet.
Right. Yes, sir.
Did God speak? You wouldn't know God if He spoke.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you done made up your mind. God is only going to talk to you how you want to be talked to.
Right.
You walked
right
in the back door this morning and some of you done got your back tied on your shoulders. You decided how God was going to talk to you, how God was going to minister to you, what God was going to say to you, and you can't be blessed unless God does it your way.
Amen.
Because
good.
You're God.
Good.
You are dictating to God, this is how I will accept it. God said, well, I don't choose to do it that way. Well, then I'll go somewhere else. They'll be glad to get me and my money. Verse 26. If a man come to Me and hate not his father. Who's talking? Has anybody, Miss Pat, you got one of them Bibles in red, don't you? Are these in red? This is Jesus talking.
Amen.
Ain't no scholar can cut this out.
Amen.
Just ain't many preachers that preach it.
Amen.
You say, why? Because they get looked at the way y'all are looking at me right now. Smart aleck, arrogant. Oh my God, I can't believe this. Why didn't he do it on Sunday night? I told you this morning why. Because you won't be here Sunday night. If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Now before you hit the brakes and say, wait a minute, don't start getting dispensational on me now. You don't ever want to be dispensational until that is like, oh, now dispensationally. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter number 3 said, I count all things but dung.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Bible and I'm in the Pauline epistle. Everything. You say, but Jesus didn't say that. Take that up with Him.
Amen.
He said, your love for me ought to be measured as hate for them because I'm so far ahead of your whole cotton-picking family that it looks like you hate them because you choose me over them all the time. How's that going for you in the South? How's that fit for Mr. Focus on the family? How about you focus on Jesus Christ, you miserable idol worshiper? Who would ever say a word to you about putting your family ahead of Jesus? Jesus would.
Amen.
The preacher, the family. What about the family?
Amen.
If your family keeps you from following God in eternity,
amen,
you'll pay a great price.
Amen.
You hooked up the wrong way. Maybe you ought to get a backbone like a saw log instead of a cotton string and say there's some things worth dying for and some things worth having convictions over. And I don't care if y'all don't go. Are you going to have the family reunion on church day? I'm going to church.
Amen.
But it's once a year for the family.
Oh, that's good.
I don't want to be around them anyway.
That's right.
Now listen, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Some of you thinking Pharisees are sitting here going, oh, how can he say that? I only say publicly what you say inside. If they meant so much to you, you'd be hanging out with them all year long. It's that one time a year you go make the appearance and act like you care when you know good and cotton picking well you don't. Think it's to make it out because it's about your reputation and who was there. I'll get to that in a minute if I ever get there. Luke chapter number 9, all three of those things have to do with family. Boxes have holes, has to do with a home. A secure place, a place you call home. Let me go bury my father, family. Let me say goodbye to them which are at my house, family. Why does the Lord do that? Because he's trying to take a point and drive it like a nail and tell you there is some things emotionally that'll get between you and him.
Amen.
And you know what you got to be willing to do? Live for eternity.
Amen.
Most people, honestly, I know you'd say you would, but you're lying. You wouldn't even take my preaching. I guarantee you wouldn't take Jesus's. If Jesus stood up here and preached this to you, you'd be out so fast like a rat running out of a sewer pipe. How dare him say that? Well, he said it. No, you're saying it. No, I'm reading it. He said it. Well, I just don't see it that way. That's your problem, convert. That's why you'll never be a disciple, convert. Because there'll always be something that placates you first. Well, the way I see it is, well, I guess you can start the church of the one family then. Telling me my kids are important. There's nothing more important you can do for your kids than to have their butt in church. I talked to a lady yesterday when I was getting my fur cut, and she said to me, she said, I go to such and such a church, and I said, you have children? She said, I do. And I said, do they go? And she goes, she looked at me, she said, excuse me? And I said, I was just asking if they went. I'm telling you, I was already studying. I was like thinking, oh boy, you know, well, it's their choice. And she goes, they going to live in my house, under my roof, and eat my food? They going to church.
Amen.
Whether they like it or don't like it, whether it warps them or don't warp them, they going to church.
Amen.
Well, I just think, I didn't say nothing. I said, yes, ma'am. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's good. She was definitive. She said, now when they move out, they can do what they want. But when they in my house, I see that's so contrary to you. You're like, well, I don't want to force them. Aren't you so nice? The fact of the matter is, you don't want to feel guilty when you want to lay at the house and you don't want to force them to go, and they get in the habit of going, then they want to ask you why you ain't going to go. So you let them out so you got a net to fall in on the day you want to sit there and watch the Super Bowl or all the games and all that other stuff. You want to sit there and go, well, Daddy just don't feel like it today. Daddy didn't mind going to work yesterday, didn't mind going to work tomorrow. Yeah, well, I just don't feel like it. Yeah, I know where you put it. Well, you're in love with mammon. That's what you're in love with.
Amen.
You don't want to be a disciple.
Amen. That's right. Preach.
Who told you being a disciple was easy? I don't want to go back on Sunday night. Wow, do you really think you're going to stand for the Lord and you can't sit for an hour on Sunday night? Are you kidding me? You really think you're going to be able to take it when things do get rough?
Come on.
Good.
You're all talk.
Amen.
Just big show.
Amen. Right.
When the pressure gets on, the very thing you need the most, you quit doing.
Amen.
You say, why? You ain't a disciple, you're a convert. Well, it's not about me anymore. The Lord's like, yeah, it hadn't been about you for a long time. Watch what He says. Whosoever doth not bear his what?
Cross.
And come after me cannot be my disciple. You understand that cross is an instrument of shame. When people were put up there, they were crucified naked. You understand that when people were put on a cross, what He's saying here is that it's an instrument of shame. It's an instrument of torture. It's affiliated or associated with bad things, bad people. I mean, He's not making light of the cross like, oh, it's some beautiful little gold thing we hang around our neck. He's saying, listen, man, if you're going to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you are just as dead as if you were nailed to the cross or sat your hind end in an electric chair.
Amen.
You don't get wills and wishes anymore. You don't get your way anymore. It now becomes not my will, but thine be done. You want to be His disciple? You say to Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, I'd have you go to church. Well, Lord, I don't feel like it. Get out of here, convert. You say, no, it's not that way. I'll get there in a minute. But it is that way. That's why some of your relationships with Jesus Christ are the same thing they were at Calvary. You think all there is to this relationship is come to Jesus at Calvary, get your sins forgiven, and you hang out close to that cross because all you know of Jesus is I had to repent and get you to forgive me so I could get back in fellowship. Why don't you quit sinning?
Amen.
Why don't you stop? If it was wrong then, it's still wrong now.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. Because you just hang around right here because you don't want to go nowhere. You're like, I know He forgives me. Okay, good, great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we ever get to know more than that?
Amen.
Enoch was God's friend. One day he's walking with God and God says, let's go to the house. He walked with God and he was not. You claim to be a friend of Jesus and you don't hang out where He hangs out. And you don't hang out with the people He hangs out with. Well, but, preacher, I'll have you know, yeah. How come you despise Christians so much and you want to hang out with the worldly, carnal Christians? Why are you more comfortable with them than with somebody who maybe don't speak to you, but they love God and believe the book and they pray and they'll pray for you and they give a mother? Why are you uncomfortable around those people?
It's good, brother.
It's good.
You think it's like it is here in China? In China, if they find out you're a Christian, you go to prison. They put you in jail. There's a guy that's been put in jail over there now 9 times. He ain't learned yet. He gets out. You know what he does? He goes, starts another church, and he gets around people, and they put him and the people in jail, and he gets out, and he does it again, and he does it again. You say, why? His attitude is, I'm going to do what God said to do. He didn't promise me a rose garden. I ain't going so burnt. I'm not going underground. I'm going to do what God said to do and let Him take care of me in prison if that's where He sees fit for me to go. You don't want to do that. It bothers me that some of you don't like Christian people that are sold out disciples. It bothers me. It bothers me that you're always thinking of carnal things. It bothers me that the pressure is always about trying to get something social going or something happy going or something good going. This is good! It bothers me. It says to me, listen, don't go too deep. Don't get too hard. God forbid you ask for a sacrifice. Jacob's problem was his heart was bound up in the child, Benjamin. And until he got past that, he couldn't get over that. Abraham had a problem with Isaac. You know what we have? We have our own Benjamins and we have our own Isaacs. Things our heart's bound up with. It bothers me the cesspool of carnality that I hear that comes out of today's church that says, I'm a convert, I ain't no disciple, let me make sure. Your speech betrays you.
Amen. Amen.
I would dare say, how dare you waste God's time with some of the stuff you bring to Him over some stupid carnal matter. I got a hangnail when I was clipping my toenails. and this hurts so bad I can't hardly put on a sock. Pray for me. You say, God cares about the small... I know that. How come it makes you uncomfortable when the preacher gets up and says, you've fallen short of discipleship? Think about what you talk about. The last time you talk about suffering, the last time you talk about sacrifice, the last time you talked about being empowered. No, it's always about what I want. I want a boyfriend. I want a cell phone. I want an iPad. I want an iPod. I want an iCar. I want this. I want that. I. Do you ever realize that that I thing is a natural attention grabber? It's an I everything. I have an iPhone. And I have all my apps on it. Well, thank God you do. It's just a constant reminder that you are the center of the universe. You know what bothers me? Is we, after 20 years, should be further along than that. And some of you, instead of getting mad right now, you ought to be getting right. It's been a long time since the Lord really set the plow down over here and said to you, you know something? Some of you think a little too highly of yourself, and some of you are a little bit too high and mighty and kind of thinking you've arrived and you're too good to be kicked in the teeth every now and then. Some of us have arrived and we've forgotten what it's like. And if God were to say, we're going to war, we're going to battle, and I ain't guarantee you're coming back, most of us would say, well, now, whoa, wait a minute. You mean die? Yeah. It was like, yeah, you ain't already dead? Yeah. You know what we'd say? No. You know how I know? You won't even die to yourself. Yeah. You won't even die right now to your anger and your frustration because you're just thinking, golly, this is crazy. No, it's called discipleship.
Amen. Amen.
But they did think the apostles were crazy. Deluded. Nuts. You're leaving your shipping, your fishing, you're leaving your tax collecting, you're leaving all that? Yeah, dump it all, man. I'm out of here. Not fishing for fish anymore. I'm fishing for men. You're crazy. Whatever. You know what we say? Really? I don't want you to think I'm crazy. How could I not be crazy in your sight? I wonder why some of you are running around like you got a bee in your britches this morning. You're upset. Right now you're just like, oh. It couldn't be the Holy Ghost, could it? Nah. No, not for you good people. No, He couldn't be convicting you. All He does is comfort you. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just as wicked as the devil himself, but He don't spend as much time comforting me as He does convicting me. Because I got news for you. Most of the stuff I want comforting over are my own personal preferences or my feelings that got hurt. And most of the times the convicting has to do with Him. And I'd take conviction over comfort anytime.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will send you a comforter. Yeah, but He's real good about not comforting you when He knows. He's like, dry your tears up and let's go.
Amen.
Notice what He says about counting the cost here in verses 28 all the way down to the bottom of the passage. I want you to catch this right here, if you would, please. He talks about building a building. He talks about going to war. But notice this in verse 33, and then we're going to go to Luke 9, and I'll be done in another hour, so just hang on. Verse 33. So likewise, He says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh... Could you read that passage to me there? That forsaketh not what?
Not all that he has.
Can I give you that word in the original Greek? Are you impressed with education? The word all there is translated all. Meaning everything.
Amen.
I want to be His disciple, the Lord said. Unload. I want everything. I want your family. I want your friends. I want your possessions. I want your life.
Amen.
I heard a fellow come up not long ago, come to Luke chapter number 9. You know what he did? He came up. He was already saved. And he said, I gave my life to Christ years ago. Now, I know this is harsh what I'm about to say. I gave my life to Christ years ago. And I said, what made you think your life was worth Him having? What in your life was worth having? I gave my life to Christ. And I said, first of all, I don't know that your life was worth Him having. Second of all, I don't believe you're being forthcoming. You told me you wanted me to be honest with you. And I said, okay, I would. So if you've given your life, can I ask you this question? How come you're not in church every time the doors are open? Well, that's different. How come you don't haven't read your Bible through yet? Well, that's different. How come you don't pray? Well, that's different. How come you don't give? Well, that's different. I gave my life. No, you didn't. You gave Him your soul at salvation. You didn't give Him your life.
Amen.
You said, Lord, I'll let You save my soul from hell, but I'm going to live like I want to live. And He said, well, you're just too harsh. You're too demanding. People can't live like you're wanting them to live. I said, like I'm wanting them to live? I'm not telling you anything the Bible doesn't say. Why would you not sell out to Him?
Right.
If you can do all things through Christ. Oh, you don't know what I got going on. Okay. Go ahead and make the excuses. And here's where you may find yourself in Luke chapter number 9. You know what the Apostle Paul said about Demas? He says, you know something about Demas? He said he loved the present world. See you later. You realize he never went after him? You know what he said about John Mark? He said, listen, he's not fit right now for the ministry. See you later. Diotrephes loved the preeminence. You know what the Lord said? Or what Paul said? See you later. Hey, Alexander the coppersmith. He did me much harm. He and I don't get along. He's an interference to the ministry. Bye. The Lord reward him according to it. See you later. I'm not interested in having him and being in fellowship with him because my personality, my who I am, is not defined by whether he does or doesn't like me. He don't like God. I don't like him. So you ought to like everybody. Where's that at?
That's right. Great.
How come the pressure's on me?
Amen.
You know, everybody that the Lord said to follow, they didn't say, Lord, I tell you what, if you'll do me a favor now, if you'll come to my house, the Lord said, no, we're going to where I don't have a house.
Yeah.
If you want to be with me, you do what I'm doing.
Right.
I ain't backing up and doing what you're doing.
Right.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
Modern Christianity says, Lord, if you want to be with me, you do what I'm doing. The Lord said, no, I'll be at the church house.
That's right.
I'm not doing what you're doing. You want to be with me? You read your Bible.
Amen.
Lord, I ain't. You want to be with me? I ain't reading my Bible. If you want to be with me, then you just have to do it without the Bible and without prayer. The Lord said, nope, ain't doing it.
Good preacher. Amen.
You know what we say? Lord, you should just accept me like I am. Listen, if you're lost, He'll take you just like you are.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. If you're saved, how come you ain't changed in the last 10 years, you old sow belly dude?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
How come? I'll tell you why. You love yourself.
Sure.
You worship
right.
yourself. You're not willing to put it all on the altar this morning. You're a cotton-picking chicken.
Amen. Great.
You love your reputation. You love your pride. You're arrogant and how, oh, God doesn't demand that. We'll see when we get the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen. Great.
Must have meant something. The Apostle Paul said, I counted it all but dung that I might win Him the fellowship of His suffering so that I'd have the power of His resurrection. You won't, ain't got no preaching nowadays that'll blow the cotton picking paper off of a peanut because nobody wants to sacrifice and give up anything anymore.
Amen.
It's all about I want it my way. You know, the Lord says, fine, go ahead and do it your way. I don't want nothing to do with that. It stinks.
Yeah, right.
It smells. It's got human instrumentation to it. I don't like that.
Amen.
You ain't got the courage for it. That's what the Lord's saying to these fellows. You want to be a disciple? You don't know what you're signing on to, sonny boy.
Right. That's right. Amen. Great.
You ain't got the courage for it. You ain't got the guts for it. First time there's a little pop of a pea gun over here, he's going to take off running. I'll have you know I won't. That's what a fellow told us one time. I don't remember. I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. And buddy, when it got bad and it got bad, he took off running.
Mm-hmm.
Left us out there, just me and him hanging out, just like, where'd he go? I don't know. He said he was dedicated. He said he was consecrated. He had the same uniform, had the same training. But boy, when it came down to was he willing to die for it? Well, I'll get my paycheck, but I ain't taking no bullet for somebody I don't know. That's you. I'm sorry to be so curt with you. Some of you need to wake up. Some of you need to realize time is short. You need to stop trying to make everybody happy and make Jesus happy.
Amen.
But you're so defined by what people think of you. Have you read what some of the people think of me? If that defines you, then what does that make you? There's a lot of people that they don't even know some of my friends. They talk about them like they sat and had dinner with them, like they wrote them letters and talked to them on the phone, all because of something they read. I don't like him. Do you know him? I don't have to. I just don't like him. Well, what don't you like him? Hey, talks. Can I ask you this question?
Yes, yes.
Who are you to decide or determine somebody else by how they speak? Because
right.
If somebody judged you the same way, you'd be like, how dare them talk about me that way? I'm only taught perfect. To yourself you do, in the mirror you do, but other people might be just as offended by you.
Amen.
Who do you think you are to talk about somebody like that?
Amen.
Who God left you boss?
Amen.
Good.
I'd be real careful about that. You say, why? I don't know, God said that's who I like. I don't believe God can use nobody like that. Take it up with Him.
Amen.
You mean God can only use... Listen, picking sow belly, you. You won't let God use you. That's why He has to use people like us.
Amen.
You got better speech than I do, and more education than I do, and more love and more kindness than I do. You got more talent and more ability than I do. You could do things for God beyond imagination, but God can't get you to do nothing, so He has to go to the bottom of the barrel and take the base thing and say, well, at least that idiot knows he's an idiot, and I can get him to do what I want him to do. While you sit back and do nothing but criticize.
Amen.
Why don't you try it for 20 years, big shot?
Amen.
Make a living out of destroying what somebody's trying to do. It ain't perfect. It's all we got, though.
Amen.
People come through here and, I don't like that. You ain't put in 20 years of blood, sweat, tears, money, and everything else.
Right.
It's easy to sit back on your laurels who haven't sacrificed the cotton picking diamond. Fine. I don't like how she played the piano. If I was running the nursery, I'd do different. But you see how she put that fellowship together? My God, if I was... You know why God uses those idiots of us? You know why? Because you people that have 10 times the talent won't do nothing with it.
Amen.
And all you know to do is criticize everybody that's trying.
Amen.
Well, at least they're trying. What are you doing?
Amen.
The devil takes time to criticize them. How come you're on his side?
Amen.
What do you want them to do? Get out? No, you want them to do it your way.
Right. Right.
But you wouldn't dare take a chance. You say, why? You might get criticized.
Right.
Them Sunday school teachers and so on. Hey, them Sunday school teachers work hard and prepare and have to put up with your snot-nosed little punks. Whether they're perfect or not ain't the issue. They're trying.
Yes, sir.
How come they're teaching? Because you won't.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You pick the class. I'll tell you what I'll teach, preacher. I'll tell you what ministry I'll have. I got a ministry for you. Swabbing toilets.
Amen.
Might teach you something.
Amen.
Look, I've already hung myself. And for those of you that are worried about it, they've already made up their mind a long time ago. They've done. So you just as well understand, I'm going to go on and get said what I got to say. Because it ain't going to hurt nothing. They done made up their mind. They don't care about these kids. They hear what you say at the table. They hear how you talk about people on the phone. And they read what you write on your cotton picking Facebook. We don't care about them. Get up and go, I care about them. Yes, let's help Brother Sam with the youth. Why don't you try to live right?
Amen.
You're worried about the crime rate? Why don't you just worry about taking care of your own house?
Yes,
instead of trying to do something big.
That's right.
Like you're going to stop something.
Right.
Luke chapter number 9. The fella comes up and says, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. You know what the Lord says here? He said, first of all, you ain't about to. You ain't going to follow me.
Right.
There's no way you're going to follow me. You say, why? Because it's not about you following me where I'm going. It's about you being willing to leave what you got to leave to follow me.
Right.
It ain't about, I'm going to go to Monte Carlo and I'm going to go down to Tahiti and I'm going to Hawaii and I'm going to Africa and I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm going to do all these great and marvelous things. The Lord said, listen, man, He directs him right off the bat. He said, listen, I ain't even got a house to call my home.
That's right.
I know what your problem is. Your problem is you'll never leave home. You'll never leave the security and the comforts of what you have at home, the identity that you have at home, the recognition that you have at home. You ain't going to go out here and follow me because you ain't even being willing to leave the thing that's gotten in the way. It's your home.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
You see, what happens is, ladies and gentlemen, when somebody packs up to go, you immediately think, well, you know, if the preacher just hadn't said, how do you know it's not their spiritual test?
Right. Amen.
Can I ask you a question? If you had somebody say, hey, I'd like to go to church with you, would you turn around and say to them, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, son of man has nowhere to lay his head. You sure you want to go? You got to leave your house to do it.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he said. That ain't a parable. This really happened. The fellow said, I want to be a disciple. He said, okay, you got to leave the house. Some of you won't leave the house tonight because the Super Bowl's on.
Great.
I have a whole bunch of things. I don't have time to go into it, but where our heart is, it becomes our home. Things that we worship become the things that we're comfortable with. And the Lord's saying, hey, it's time for you to move away from your home.
Yeah.
Leave that stuff behind. What are you talking about? Sacrifice, discipleship.
Amen.
See, your mistaken idea is that church is about keeping everybody. Where do you find that?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what church is supposed to be? It's to feed anybody.
Amen.
But you know what? The Lord says some are going to come and some are going to go. You just preach.
Amen.
But see, you're comfortable the more people that are here because that way you don't look like such a nut. Yes, you do.
That's right.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I've heard it. I don't know how it works out this way. Well, our preachers, you know, it's just a little different sometimes. Make sure when you say I'm different, you make sure that you don't mean different. Make sure they clearly understand. You say, how dare you? How dare you not? How can you say that? How can you not say that? Well, preacher, you don't realize the society. Yes, I do realize the society we live in. I want to make sure that people understand that is wrong and I'm diametrically opposed to it.
Yeah.
What if it was somebody in your family? It would still be wrong.
Yeah.
You just don't understand. Hey, I ain't the one to put pressure on. You live with it. I ain't living with it. God says it's wrong, it's wrong.
Right.
No, but society's changed. Yes, it has. You know why? Because you keep your cotton picking mouth
right.
shut. That's why.
Yeah.
It's accepted now. You know what he says, first of all? He says, you got to leave the house. Leave your home. Lord, I don't know if I really want to do it. No permanent home anymore. You're a stranger and a pilgrim now. You're roaming through the earth. You might be in Jacksonville now and Africa next week. I become the one that determines your living place. You want to follow me? Leave the house. We're going. No security. Take what you got on you and let's go. Lord, can I go back and sell? Nah, leave it to somebody else and worry about it. Let's go. No record of the guy following. Look, if you will, please, at verse number 58. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, son of man has nowhere to lay his head. And then said unto another one, follow me. What a great opportunity, man.
Yeah.
To follow Jesus? Are you kidding?
Yes, sir.
But notice what the Lord says. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Wow. That seems reasonable. I mean, if you were in the military, you guys that are in the military, wouldn't they fly you home to bury your father?
Amen.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, well, it's your dad. I mean, what's wrong with burying the father? But I want you to look at what Jesus said. Let the dead bury the dead. Anybody can bury, but not everybody can preach the kingdom and follow me. You got an opportunity now. Don't you? I don't know if the guy's dad had just died or hadn't died yet. Everybody is split decision. The principle is the same. The Lord said, don't go back, whether it's to bury him now. You say, why? You know why most people bury him? Because it's an expected thing that you do. And God says, I understand that, and that would have been fine for you to do, but now you have an opportunity to follow me. And so you tell me what's more important, burying somebody that's already dead or preaching to somebody about an eternity to come to help them after they're dead.
Amen.
You see, God lays out a principle here, ladies and gentlemen, and what He tries to say to you is this, something eternal is more important than something earthly.
Amen.
Did you hear me say that?
Amen.
Including burying your family.
Right.
Now trust me, I don't think God's going to tell you if your dad or mom or somebody in your family dies today that the Lord's going to say, hey, let the dead bury the dead. I understand, but the Lord is being straight up.
Amen.
You know what He's saying? Can you imagine how the people must have, did you hear what the preacher said? Mm-hmm. That preacher told him not to worry about burying his dad. I have never in my life.
Amen.
What preacher would tell somebody not to bury their dad? The Lord's like, that thing right there is an idol in your life.
Right, amen.
And it's going to stand between you and your loyalty to me.
Amen.
And the best thing for you to do is let somebody else take care of that, because otherwise you know what you're going to do. You're going to wind up worshiping that thing,
yes, sir,
and never going to turn loose of that thing.
Right. Amen.
Let the dead bury the dead. Whew. Want to make a practical thing? Let the unsaved take care of those that are already gone. I got something more important than the eternal things. You see the emphasis that God's putting on eternity?
Amen.
When was the last time you did that?
Amen.
And don't you think, honestly, that people would think I was crazy if somebody came to me and they said, TK came to me and said, hey, preacher, my mom died. She's been gone now for a number of years. And I said, well, TK, that's real good. Let the dead bury the dead, and you need to go preach. Him and everybody else would be like, I love the preacher, but he done lost his mind. Don't tell me you wouldn't. That'd be a normal response. That's what the Lord told this guy. And He put it in the pages of His Bible for a reason.
Amen.
You know what He's trying to drive home?
Amen.
I don't care what your excuse is. There is no excuse for not following me when I tell you to follow me.
Amen.
Can I give you one more?
Yes.
Notice what He says a little bit further in the passage. Again, we still misread. I mean, Miss Pat, we're still in the red. Is that right? Notice what He says. He says, and another said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first bid them farewell which are at my home. You know how the Lord responds to this? Like you can almost hear the sacred cows mooing by now, can't you?
Yeah.
Preacher, I love the Lord, but I've got to take care of my home. Preacher, I love the Lord, but I've got to take care of my family. Moo. Moo. She ain't giving no more milk. And by the way, it's time some of you get off the milk.
Amen.
And grind them old cows to hamburger and get something that'll sustain you longer than milk.
Amen.
It's time some of you growed up.
That's right.
You know what He says to this fellow right here? He says, no man having put his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom. In other words, you can't plow a straight line if you're always looking back.
Right. Amen.
So I'm giving you an opportunity to serve me. But you know what? If your heart is going to be there like Lot's wife, if you're constantly going to be looking back, you ain't going to plow a straight line anyway. So just go ahead and take care of that. Because you're not intending to follow me at all. What you're intending to do is, you've made a decision that you'll follow me based on how you think you should follow me instead of what I think. So you know what happens? Divided hearts don't follow Jesus too well. What's the Lord speaking to you about today? Come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 quickly. Excuse me. I mentioned this earlier just to show you where we've gotten as a society. I occasionally go through when I want to get sick and make myself really angry. I occasionally go to the Christian bookstore.
Amen. Amen. Great.
You thought I was going to go to the movie or something. I go to the Christian bookstore. I look for books about faith and sacrifice and suffering. You say, well, I'm interested in that because I think I can show you from the Bible that's a principle that a disciple should have in his life.
Yes.
Every Christian, if he's a Christian, he has to have been a disciple. And that means there has to have been suffering and sacrifice in his life for him to even understand his Maker. The one that He died for.
Right.
Okay? Is anybody on this side alive at all? Okay. So I go to the Christian bookstore. You know what I find? I find books on marriage.
Yeah.
I find books on family.
Right.
I find all kind of books on finance, how to pay off your mortgage in 4.37 years. The biblical way.
Yeah.
I find stuff on biblical diet,
yep,
whatever that is. Well, it's all vegetables. Okay, well, the Lord said forbidding and abstaining from meats, forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats. So the Lord ate calf over there with Genesis. So,
right,
you know. You don't want to eat red meat? Okay, that's your business. I mean, I realize all things in moderation, but the Bible's something about eating meat.
Amen.
Don't get nervous. I'm not getting into a dietary discussion.
Amen.
You say, well, I think it's all meat. See, it's all out of balance.
Right.
Can I ask you a question? Or everything you're going to find about dietary stuff, it's in the book of Leviticus.
Right.
So I'm not under that. Everything, creature of God, is good. Nothing to be refused if it be received with prayer. So pray over it and ask God to bless it. And if like eating pig makes you sick, although I've been eating some wild pig lately, it ain't been bothering me too bad. That's not an asking, but it's pretty good. But at any rate, here's the point I'm making. I find all kind of books on diet, all kind of books on the Christian pilgrimage. I don't find faith. I don't find suffering. I don't find sacrifice. If the American Christian was transplanted into China, we'd be done. You say, why? We would do whatever we had to do to save our life. You say, no, I wouldn't. You do it now.
Amen.
And you're not even under
Amen.
Any pressure. When I talk about saving your life, I'm talking about your lifestyle, the way you want to live and what you want to do.
Amen.
You're looking for reasons to get out instead of to get closer.
It's good.
You're just looking. It's just like we're always just, somebody's going to say something or do something or whatever is going to get offended. You know why? Because I'm looking to be offended. And I guarantee you, I mean, I know there's some that are offended. They are really upset. One older lady said to me one time, she said, I'll not have you or anybody else talk to me in that tone. I said, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. You would want me to do what God wants me to do. I don't believe God have you talk like that. Okay. I said, well, ma'am, could you do me a favor? You've apparently been around for a while. And I said, could you do me a favor and pray for me and maybe God will fix me. What are you supposed to say to somebody like that? Who is that? I don't know. She's bitter about something. Like some of you.
Amen.
You know what the Lord says? He's trying to get across to you. Eternity is much more important than earthly.
Amen. Amen.
We need to stop living for ourselves and start living for Him.
That's right.
What do these kids know about it? Do they see a crucified life in us? Do they see any sacrifice or do they just see us living for ourselves? How I want it. A couple more verses. We'll be gone for today. Note, if you will, please, in verse number, 31, 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. You can't do anything but amen then. Your focus changes. That's why it's good to have a woman that's a helpmeet and that she's helping you and supporting you and she doesn't get jealous of God.
Amen.
But watch it. The Bible says this, he said in verse number 34, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. For I speak of your own prophet, not that any that I may cast a snare upon you, but that which is comely, beautiful, pretty to look at, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. You may not have read that part of 1 Corinthians 7 before, but you know what he's saying there? He's saying, listen, you know what? Being married, it's not the epitome or the end of all things.
Amen.
He's saying there's something more important than being married. That's serving me.
Amen.
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 You know what he just said?
Yes. Right.
See what happens? Our attention gets divided. Well, let me kind of put a bow on this. Ask you this question this morning. Would God consider you to be His friend this morning? Sure, God can consider me to be His friend. That's really. If a friend of mine calls me, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and says, hey, I need something. You know what I say? Okay. What you need? If I call somebody who I say is a friend of mine, and I say, hey, man, can you help me out with so-and-so? If they can do it, you know what they say? Yeah, man, fine, no problem. When I say friend, I don't take that lightly. I'll be glad to help you any way I can help you.
Amen.
Okay, if you ain't seen him in years, they know, hey, that's his friend. He's there. I only know he's always there. Doesn't change, hot and cold, whether or not that... friend, right? Can you take a Bible this morning and can you show me in the Bible that the things that you're not doing for the Lord are what the Lord would have that would be pleasing to Him? And can I tell you this? The Lord's made a request of all of us to follow Him.
That's right.
And you know what we say, but first.
Amen.
but first. Lord, I'll do that when the kids are grown. Lord, I'll do that as soon as I get in a better position. Lord, I will do that, but no, I can't do that. I can do this much, but I can't do that. The Lord's like, oh, okay. So you're really not my friend. David was a man after God's own heart. Abraham, when he spoke to the Lord as a man speaketh to a friend face to face. I'd like to know that the Lord says to me, you know, he's my friend. I'd have to make a request, and he's willing to do it. I say, take your son to put him up on the altar. Offer him there. He will. He's my friend. He knows that I have his best interest in heart. He hangs around with people that I like. He fellowships with people that I like. He doesn't fit in with the rest of the world. And he's not looking to gain the rest of the world by some illicit means to try to trick them into something and then spend all of his time trying to keep them in something they never wanted to be in the first place. If you're sold out and you're a volunteer, the Lord, all he has to do is sound the horn for muster. And it's like, hey, I'm going. Whatever I'm doing, it doesn't matter. He needs me, I'm going. The Master have needed me. What a blessing. He would ask me to do it. He asked me to assemble. I'm going to assemble. Yeah, but don't you understand? No, I don't understand anything. The Master has need of me. I'm going. Yeah, but don't you know? No, I'm going. I'm not going to go back and ask somebody else, talk to somebody else, kick it around, have them talk me out of it, reason with me, make sense with me and all that. I'm going. Well, that's a little bit cultish, really. You label everything a cult you don't understand because you don't know anything at all about what's called the sacrificial Christian life. You don't know anything about discipleship. You know about being a convert.
Right.
You know about Jesus loves me, this I know. You know John 3:16 and you know it well. And you even witness to people. But when it comes to being sold out to the Lord and sacrificing, too much for me, Lord. I'll just be a convert. Why today? Why Sunday morning? I don't know. I'm pretty sure you realize you probably ran some people off. I really didn't want to. But could I ask you this question? And I'm going to have Brother Grotter, you get ready to play something for me there on the piano quietly in just a second. Let me ask you a question. I can take you in the Bible and show you in a number of places where when the people didn't do what God wanted them to do, that God not only wrote Ichabod, but the Spirit of the Lord just departed. He just said, I'm out. Say, oh, here it comes. He was just doing what God said. You determine if I did what God said. But in my heart, I did today what God said. But I know this. God stands up on the mountaintop today like Moses did when he came off the mountaintop. He had the tribe of Levi stand around him and he said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him choose this day. And some said, well, Moses, I kind of like the golden calf, the sacred cow, and we've been having a good time since you've been gone. All this sacrifice stuff and doing right stuff. You know, Moses, we've been thinking anyway, it's time to go back to Egypt. We had it better in Egypt there. You know what Moses said? Anybody that doesn't get on the Lord's side, you cut their head off. Man, that's pretty harsh. But there's a knife to your spiritual jugular this morning. And if God dealt with you and you know what you say? Too much for me, man. I ain't doing that. I never heard of that in all my life. Why don't you say this, Lord, if you will, if that's you, I'm willing. Not, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Then he's overriding your will. But, Lord, if that's my life, if I'm a convert, thank God I'm saved, but if I'm not a Christian, if I'm not a disciple, I'm willing now, today, to say, I want more, Lord. That's between you and the Lord. Not between you and the preacher. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't even want anybody looking around. Please don't look around. You know, not anybody, well, who's going? It doesn't matter. God spoke to you this morning. Lord, I'm willing. I want to be a disciple, Lord. I want to be a disciple. I didn't like how he said it. I didn't even like what he said. I just know what he's right. Always been about me and how I ought to do it. And I really am a maverick at heart. And I really do want things to be done my way. Lord, if you'd just put me in the ministry, I could straighten all these jack legs out. You're never going to get anywhere that way. You have to come to a place in your heart and in your life where you say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Houses, lands, family, friends, reputation, possessions, yea, even his own life. That's what he asks for. Not for salvation. For salvation, you bring him your sins and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. But if you want to be a disciple after salvation, Lord, here, everything I have and everything I am, it's yours. I'm sold out 100%. Everything. I want to be a disciple. Tired of being miserable. Tired of finding fault with everything and everybody. Hey, church, listen. Keep your heads bowed, but listen to me. The church is a mess. You're not bringing to light anything that nobody doesn't already know. Nobody claims, never has claimed to be perfect. We don't need more critics. We need more disciples. God spoke to you. You come. We're going to wait. Many people are down here. This is a serious thing. This will change your life as a Christian. Lord, they're talking about me. If you're dead, it doesn't matter. Lord, what do they think of us as a church? They're mad. They're upset. Not if you're dead, it doesn't matter. Thank you for your many blessings. And thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the stern warnings and the wake-up calls. Amen. Thank you, God, for caring enough to put these things in the Bible so that we can clearly understand the difference in just being converted and being sold out. And I pray, God, that you'll help those of us who have been sold out to the world and all of its fake and phony and empty promises and been sold out to other things, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be committed to Thee today. Today won't just be another sermon where the preacher went off on a tear, but it'll be the day that we take those sacred cows we've worshipped for so long, replace them with the Word of God. God, help us to worship You instead of worship ourselves and our thoughts and dreams and ideas. May today be the day that we crucify all of those things and thereby take up our cross and willingly follow You. Bless these folks for coming. Pray, God, You'll be with even those that have not been able to be with us today because of sickness. And pray, God, You'll be with them and get them back on their feet and back among us. And pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. See you tonight at 5 o'clock.